The Truth News Network. When the media spread their web of lies, you need a guide to walk you through the labyrinth. His name is Newman. Dan Newman.
You're in the labyrinth with me today, and we're going to Washington, D.C. together. Hello, everyone. I'm Dan Newman. Welcome back. Today, a two-tiered political justice system, one for elites and one for us. Now, you can have stark differences with this president. That's easy for many to do. But one thing that cannot be said about him is that he runs from a fight. No one in my life, in any White House, has worked so diligently to expose the corruption among Washington elites. Yes, they exist. Yes, there is a deep state. Yes, their justice under federal law is different from mine. If you want to argue that point, you better pull up a chair. There are far too many specific examples for me to share with you than you think exist. We're going to be here a while. Americans believe that the two-tiered justice system has existed for a long time, but no one has been able to nail it down. Or maybe we haven't seen proof of it because no one wanted to nail it down, and probably the latter is correct. Want some recent examples? Here's six for you. Attorney General Eric Holder. When Obama took office, the DOJ had already launched a very public investigation into the racial election intimidation by two Black Panthers in a wealthy, mostly white suburb of Philadelphia. The two on election day stood in front of the door to the polling precinct in full militant garb. Voters were horrified. They wouldn't go vote. The Bush Department of Justice ramped up an investigation. Eric Holder, on orders from the new president, Barack Obama, terminated the case. Was it racial? You be the judge of that. But one thing is for sure, it was an example of two-tier justice. FBI Director James Comey, we could spend all night talking about him. The fact that he lied several times while under oath is uncontroverted. Additionally, he leaked classified information purposely to a friend for the express purpose of leaking that information to the press. His doing that was a felony. Comey was severely chastised in Inspector General Michael Horowitz's report for numerous offenses while he was in office. He committed federal crimes, folks. No charges made, no investigation, and no charges pending. Nothing's happened to Comey. And then, of course, there's Hillary Clinton. She transmitted for several years classified emails to and from numerous government officials, and she used an illegal personal server that had not even been registered with the State Department, had not been examined by State Department IT officials, and was not certified for use regarding the dissemination of classified information. Each instance of a single email being sent or received on that server was an act of felony. President Obama. That Clinton server? Well, Obama, during his presidency, corresponded using a secret Gmail account with a special name. He frequently sent and received from Ms. Clinton classified emails, dozens if not hundreds. Again, each such transmission broke a federal felony statute. Andrew McCabe, the former FBI number two, was outed in the Horowitz investigation for lying to investigators. It's a crime. Horowitz referred McCabe for prosecution. In other words, he sent to the DOJ and said, this guy did this and he deserves to be prosecuted under federal law. A grand jury looked at the charges and investigated. Nothing happened for several years. And subsequently, very quietly, the case was dropped. And then there's our old buddy, John Brennan. Brennan, as CIA director, lied while under oath in his Senate testimony. You may not remember this. Listen to what he did. When asked by Senator Dianne Feinstein of California if the CIA had ever electronically surveilled members of the Senate, he answered resoundingly, they had not done so. It was later proven the CIA did just that and did it with not only Brennan's knowledge, but did it at his direction. We could keep going, throwing out names of past members of the government, several members of Congress, numerous individuals that work for the government but not in appointed positions. That list is exhausted. There's no need for us to do it. We all know especially after 3 years of the Mueller investigation, replete with constant lies and misrepresentations. Members of the federal government, for the most part, get different and very partial treatment regarding being held accountable for illegal actions on their part. This once again became front and center with the craziness of Senator Chuck Schumer of New York on the steps of the Supreme Court on Wednesday of this week when he took a bullhorn, climbed up on a stool or on a bench, spoke to a crazed crowd in anger regarding a case the court heard at that exact same moment about 100 yards away. The case was regarding a Louisiana law that requires all doctors who conduct abortions in the state have admitting status with a hospital close to the abortion clinic that's being used at that time. The law's purpose is to mandate immediate medical help for anyone that requires emergency treatment as a result of the abortion. Now, Schumer, using the bullhorn, threatened Supreme Court Justices Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh if they chose to support that law. If you didn't see or hear those few words of this threat that we played for you yesterday, here it is again. It's just a few seconds.
I want to tell you, Gorsuch, I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have released the whirlwind and you will pay the price. You won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions.
The current Senate Minority Leader threatened the two justices, an unprecedented act committed by the number two U.S. Senator. Thursday on the floor of the Senate, everybody expected for Schumer to get up and apologize. He got up there. He spoke. He did not apologize. He gave reasons for his saying what he said. Excuses. One could easily reconcile that Schumer was caught up in a heated political demonstration about the most polarizing political policy in American history, abortion. But that would be disingenuous. By federal statute, very simply, he broke the law when he made those threats. We at Truth News Network decided to turn to a professional, a lawyer, and a sitting member of the leadership of the U.S. House of Representatives, Congressman Mike Johnson, Republican of Louisiana. He had some very enlightening things to say about not only Senator Schumer's actions, but the current state of equal justice under the law in the United States. The Congressman joins us in 2 minutes. You don't want to miss what he has to say. That's right after this at Truth News Network, truthnewsnet.org.
Hi, I'm David Peter Moss. Can I have just a moment of your time? You know, I've known Dan Newman for more than 30 years. And when he came to me 2 years ago to put together a network to bring honest discussion to the political landscape, I had no idea it would take off as it has. In only 2 years, Dan has taken his analysis and commentary from a small local following to a ready and engaged audience on every continent in every major capital, to the point it's required listening at major universities around the world. Dan has been called the most important conservative voice in American politics, and this is not just water cooler backslapping in-house. This from the Political Science Department at the University of Moscow. Now think about that. We all know conservative voices are shunned in the U.S., even silenced, and worse. But for one of our political enemies to make this bold statement says that Dan is onto something he's sharing with the worldwide audience, and what he's sharing is the truth. I'd personally like to thank you for your support of this vital mission in getting the truth into minds of citizens around the globe, no matter the cost, no matter the obstacles. And when we talk about our network, we're not talking about us. We're talking about you. You are the Truth News Network, and we couldn't have gotten this far without you. Thank you for your support.
This is TNN. The Truth News Network.
Hi, Tom Baudet. Of all the things invented in 1962, some have faded away, like cassette tapes, and others are still very much with us, like lava lamps and Motel 6. Yep, Motel 6 is celebrating 50 years of giving travelers a good night's rest and saving you more for what you travel for. But we're just getting started. In fact, the longer you watch us, the better we get. Kind of like a lava lamp. Trippy. I'm Tom Baudet for Motel 6. 50 years and the light's still on.
When Bolshevik Barbie throws shade, you have the weapon of light. The truth. TNN. The Truth News Network.
On the phone with us from Washington, D.C. is Congressman Mike Johnson from the 4th Congressional District in Louisiana. Congressman, you're kind of busy, I understand.
Well, I'm actually talking to you in the midst of a vote series. I'm right off the House floor, and you may hear a little chaos in the background. I apologize for it, but that's the way it goes on the Hill.
And we certainly know you've got lots of chaos going on there. You handle it so well. I know you're short of time. Let's jump right in. The horror of the day, if I can call it that, was when Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer took to the sidewalk in front of the Supreme Court and with a bullhorn actually threatened Supreme Court Justices Gorsuch and Kavanaugh if they did not rule on the Louisiana law being considered by the Supreme Court regarding abortion at the same time. What's your take on that?
You know, nothing should shock us anymore, especially when it pertains to Senator Chuck Schumer. I mean, he's into this, he just makes outrageous statements. And we saw that during the impeachment saga of the last few months. I was involved in that on the defense side. I was inside the courtroom in the oral arguments yesterday at the Supreme Court. Of course, our Louisiana abortion regulations case that I actually tried in the district court many years ago before it got to the Supreme Court. But while we were in the middle of all that, Schumer's outside saying these outrageous things. And not only does it just escalate the vitriol in Washington, it actually is a dangerous thing. And that's why the Chief Justice made that unprecedented statement to say that. He had to call it out for what it is. And I know you've noted this already in your podcast, but Chuck Schumer also violated the black letter of federal law. 18 U.S. Code Section 115 makes it a crime to intimidate or interfere with a judge, certainly a federal judge, in the performance of their official duties. And if you look at the criminal code and the federal criminal code, that's punishable by a fine or imprisonment as much as 10 years. So this is really, really serious stuff.
I'm glad you mentioned that. You know, it's worrying Americans one thing really, really badly, and that is that we live in a two-tiered system. We both agree that what Senator Schumer did was a felony offense, but we also know nothing's going to happen to Schumer for his doing that. He had a chance to apologize for it on Thursday. He was excoriated on the Senate floor by Majority Leader McConnell, and Schumer could have just gotten up and said, "I did wrong. I'm sorry. I should have never done that." What he did, the only thing he did, no apology, he said this: "I used some of the wrong words."
He did, and I think that was an important missed opportunity. We have to dial this back a little bit. And at the end of the day, Dan, and you and I have talked about this before, one of my greatest concerns as a kind of a novice historian and a constitutional law attorney, and I really believe in these fundamental ideas and precepts about the maintenance of a republic. We have a constitutional republic. It's still an experiment on the world stage. One of the things that is presupposed if you're going to maintain a republic is that you have to have the people's faith in the institutions themselves. If we're going to have self-governance of, by, and for the people, as Lincoln said, then the people have to trust in that principle of the rule of law, that there really truly is equal justice under law. And there can't be two standards. You can't have, you know, high and mighty elected officials in Washington operating under a different set of rules as everyone else. And that, at the end of the day, is the greatest threat, aside from the immediate threat and the danger of, you know, effectively putting a price on the heads of Supreme Court justices, which is how some people interpret those crazy statements. In the long run, we are eroding the faith in the rule of law, and that is of great concern.
Congressman Mike Johnson from Louisiana, the 4th District, with us today. Congressman, far too many Americans have watched in the last 3 years as folks in government, the bureaucrats primarily, have bent the law with no accountability in a bunch of ways. The Obama DOJ holdovers, the FBI, they've all been exposed for abuse in using FISA warrants for illegal surveillance of Americans. You remember the Carter Page thing started it all. The FISA law is up for renewal. Where do you stand on that, the FISA law?
Well, there's a lot of thoughtful discussion and debate going on here. I'm a strict constructionist, constitutional conservative, and I believe in the maintenance of personal freedom and liberty and privacy. And part of the maintaining the rule of law and all of those core principles of what makes us Americans is that you have to ensure that when we have this zealous effort to guard the security and the safety of the American people, you can't run roughshod over their liberty either. And the problem with the FISA system, the way it's currently constituted and applied, is that they have used this instead of just surveilling foreign persons who might be suspected of being involved in terrorist plots. They have used too broad of a brush, and they have swept in to those inquiries or those investigations that are being done in secret, a lot of American citizens who are otherwise innocent. And so we have to protect personal privacy and secure the safety of the American people. And those are not mutually exclusive pursuits. We can do both, but it takes a very thoughtful, deliberative approach to the policy and to the law.
That's really disconcerting. You know, when we were little, we had three ways to get information on television. We had ABC, CBS, and NBC. We had our local newspaper, and occasionally had a radio station that did news, but that was about it. We have 24/7 instant everything now. We have the internet. We have satellite radio. We have news online. We have social media. And people just don't really know why it seems like every time we turn around, people in government, especially in the intelligence communities, are just ignoring the laws, ignoring the regulations, and just doing exactly what they want, when they want, with no accountability. This is a nation of laws, and it concerns us all. I know it concerns you. It concerns us all that not everybody's acting like we live in a nation that is under the rule of law. The United States is not a nation of men. It's a nation of laws. It's causing unnecessary distrust in our government.
Well, it is. And I know that's the perception out there. And that perception is probably well earned, because there have been some really bad apples involved in an overall noble system. I mean, you know, you talk about the abuses you've seen, even like the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigations, for crying out loud, over the last few years. You had really bad, even corrupt, a couple of leaders, handful of leaders at the top. And it tainted all of the patriotic civil servants who are serving kind of as rank and file officers out in the field, doing just noble, brave work. And so, we have a tendency to paint with a broad brush, and we have to be very careful. You know, the FISA issue is a great example. It's an important program. And if you talk to the people inside the intelligence community, those who are thoughtful and honest and true and believe like you and I do, Dan, in the maintenance of our fundamental inalienable rights, including the right to privacy, they'll tell you that this is still a necessary tool. It needs to be reformed dramatically to put these precautions in place. But they do need this, because they have foiled a lot of terrorist plots, frankly, that might have hit us after 9/11 by using this statute and this paradigm. So we've got to reform it. We don't want to just get rid of it entirely, but the devil's going to be in the details on that, and that's why we have to have thoughtful debate here on the Hill.
Wow. We got to let you get back to being a congressman. Thank you so much. You're always Johnny on the spot with us. You always talk with us. You give us the inside things that we as Americans, and especially those in your district, need to know what's going on up there. You make it clear. Thank you so much for being there. Besides that, you're now in the Trump inner circle, and we're so glad you are. Congressman Mike Johnson, thanks for being our guest.
Hey, happy to help, Dan. You're doing a great service to your listeners and everyone else. Keep it up.
It's always great when Mike Johnson gives us a call or comes by to visit with us. He's on point. As you see there, folks, Congressman Johnson more than just agrees our justice system is in danger. As you also heard, he agrees that we have problems that are evident, serious, and certainly need to be addressed. He lives in the mess we call the swamp. He knows firsthand how the elitist tags given to certain people who are part of the swamp allow them to live and abide by different rules than other Americans. All the wrongdoing listed above by those political insiders are never going to be prosecuted. Just imagine if you were James Comey, Eric Holder, Andrew McCabe, or even Chuck Schumer, and you did just one of the many things those were guilty of. If you did, you'd spend a long time in jail for sure. This is not the way this nation was founded. In fact, our leaders through decades have let the sharp edges of justice carve out specific guidelines called laws by which we are governed and by which we live. They prayed our nation would never slip into the merry-go-round of partisanship in which we find ourselves today, and it is neck deep. Thankfully, it has been exposed. That's just the beginning of getting this issue resolved. Remember this. This all didn't happen quickly. It's not going to be repaired quickly. Patience is not much of a virtue for most of us. But our opinions on timing, they're immaterial, folks. It is our responsibility to remind our government members of their commitments to the rule of law. And if they continue to perpetuate that second tier of justice, we need to, at the ballot box, remove them from their power seat, and replace them with those who will honor their oaths of office and complete the restoration of our nation to a justice for all America. It's been there in the past. It's not here now, but we need it back in all of our lives. What do? Take them out of office at the ballot box. Hey, thank you for joining us here today. Kind of special. Mike Johnson came along, congressman from the 4th District of Louisiana. Had some wonderful things to share with us, some great ideas, and he knows what he's talking about. It's always good to get that, and you always get that at Truth News Network. It's called The Truth. Thank you for being here. Weekends ahead. Bullet points Saturday tomorrow. There's a lot of good things that we can talk about over the weekend. Don't miss a day at Truth News Network, truthnewsnet.org. So long, everybody.
From Krakow to Grand Island, Milan to Hanoi, this is TNN,
the Truth News Network.